This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Well, this is Betting Weekly Premier League Show. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, alongside me, Nigel Seeley. And Jack Wright, a belated Happy New Year from everyone on the show to all of our viewers and listeners. New Year's resolutions, chaps, dry January, anything that you're going to change your lifestyle with, Nigel, for 2024?
All right, dry January lasted a day, all over. Lots of dry January. The gym lasted half a day. But what is the cutoff point? Happy New Year to you. What is the cutoff point for New Year? That's the when do you stop saying Happy New Year to people? What is the day, the official day?
Well, I don't know, but we've not had a show, so you know we've got some loyal fans out there, a growing fan base. I just thought I'd welcome them in with a new year because we hadn't had a show so far.
Yeah, I was very.
Are you saying we're too late?
I think we're too late to the party. I think 10th of January is like, come on now, we're done with all that. We're back to normal. It's freezing cold. Everyone's back to work. Forget the festive fun. It's down to business.
Jack, what have you given up or taken up?
Oh, no, I don't do any of that. I don't want to set myself up for a fall. So I promise I'm going to drink more, go out more, eat more, win more bets. As simple as that, really. There's nothing else to it.
Oh, I don't know. Look, I'll tell you what the EPL has given up so far this season. Draws, just 18.77% of games have ended all square. 37 matches in 198 games. If you are level staking the draw, Nigel, you'll be minus 38. It's the sort of P&L that the Bundesliga show last season would have absolutely killed for. Only 5 nil-nils so far. Thoughts why, Nigel?
I don't know. I've got no idea why. I mean, I suppose the thing is that
our team's playing more positively. Is there more ambition? What is it?
Well, I think there's that. There's all the late goals, all the same reasons that we said over the last few months, really. I mean, you know, the extra time means that a lot of late goals when teams are drawing, teams are pushing forward. I mean, if you look at the odds, 18.7% it equates to plus 550. So that, and in average odds for a draw is about plus 330. So the draw, but I think that will level itself out when.
Should we back the draw? Should we back the draw every single game from now to the end of the season? Will we make money?
No. I don't think so. No, I think there'll be certain weeks where a draw will suit sides. When we know that teams are playing for titles or playing for relegation, they might settle for a draw when other teams have got big matches. But at the moment, I wouldn't bet a draw. No. And the draws are sort of the nil-nil detector's an antique now, isn't it? I mean, it's a relic.
It's a relic.
Natural History Museum's got a little bit for the nil-nil detector. And draw bettors have gone in there as well, haven't they? The draw bettors, you know, the old Joe who used to go down the betting shop 10 years ago and have a three draw parlay, the pools. They're all in there. They're all with the nil-nil detector. It's like a section. If you ever come over to England or Great Britain, head to the Natural History Museum. You see the draw bettors section and the nil-nil detector.
Next to the T-Rex skeleton. And everything, yeah,
everything's all there.
Jack, any thoughts on why we haven't had any draws in the Premier League?
I think there's such a gulf now between the top, the bottom. There's effectively kind of compartments, isn't there? You got the top six that are all battling together. You then got the bottom five or six. You got those then teams that are just below their Europa League places, challenging for that. Generally speaking, come towards the end of the season, probably only have like two or three clubs that will be with nothing to play for. So I think when those games are winnable, they're going for it. And also, you've got to take into account the likes of VAR. Teams aren't getting away with stuff they got away with before. There's penalties given left, right and centre, week in, week out. So I think those goals are coming and sides just aren't getting away with the things that they used to get away with those decisions. So I think it's a combination of those sort of things.
I'm still none the wiser.
we have only got 5 games this weekend. It's a sort of mini winter break, of course, with 5 games this week and 5 games next weekend for the Premier League. So not as much to go out for bettors, but we have got plenty of plays for you nonetheless from the boys. We're going to kick off with a Friday night fixture in the UK. It is 2:45 Eastern in America. It's Burnley versus Luton. Burnley minus 106, Luton plus 295 here. It's 19th versus 18th, and we're going to dip into the prop markets first and foremost for our official play. Jack, talk us through this because we're focusing on corners here.
Yeah, we are. I looked at the game. It's a massive game, as you say, right down at the bottom of the table. Both these sides will need a win. Burnley probably more especially so. You look at this game now, when you look what they've got coming up, this is huge for them, because following this game, they've got to play Manchester City, Liverpool and Arsenal in, say, three of their next four games. So, a win for Luton here puts them 7 points clear of Burnley. So lots to play for. So Friday night in the UK, I've gone for a split here in the fact that we need over 4.5 Burnley corners. We need over 2.5 Luton corners. Corners have been rife in their games throughout the course of the season for this. So I just feel that both these sides effectively suit each other, how they're going to play. Luton don't tend to really want to have the ball. They'll let the opposition have it. Burnley like to dominate possession and kind of work up the pitch passing-wise well. Luton are more direct, and I think they'll be throwing balls into the box when they get the opportunity this week. James Trafford's a young goalkeeper for Burnley. They'll put him under pressure with a physical style. So getting those balls into the box, then that will tend to lead to corners. As far as Burnley are concerned, Luton concede the most amount of shots in the away from home in the Premier League. 20 shots per game away from home they average conceding. So Burnley should be firing off plenty, which again is another reason why there'll be plenty of corners in it. You look at the games that they've had between each other over the last two seasons, because they obviously came out from the Championship last season. They were 13 in the reverse fixture this season, 6 for Burnley, 7 for Luton. And last season, we saw 12 and 13 corners as well. So 5 or more corners for Burnley in 7 of their 10 home games this season. Villa and Liverpool were two of the ones where they didn't get that many. So that's kind of understandable. They average 6.7 per game. And they've conceded 3 or more corners, which we need here, obviously, for Luton in 8 of their 10 home games. Whereas Luton have hit 3 or more in 7 of their 9 home games. They average 4 corners per away game, and they've conceded 5 or more in 7 of their 9 away from home. So all points towards this one being, those corners that we mentioned, over 4.5 for Burnley, over 2.5 for Luton, same game parlay.
+104. All Jack's picks, incidentally, are plus money, I reckon. So we've got some sizable play, certainly one of the assists that we've got a little bit later on the show. Just sticking briefly with this one, Nigel. Burnley -1 at 4.55 to be relegated. Luton -367. Is this a game that they're both targeting to win, or is it a must not lose, or have we gone beyond that? I mean, you did have a lean in this. Well, I say a lean. You did have a play, but you've revised it because it is a difficult one to call in terms of goals.
I think I'll have to go for lean towards Burnley, actually, for the points that Jack made there. They've got this a massive match for him with some real tough fixtures coming up. My lean was for under 2.5 goals. I thought it had to be. I had to go back to the norm and put an under in. But then I sort of looked at the match and saw how many goals that Luton scored away from home. And I looked at the matches involving teams at the bottom of the table this season. They've been high-scoring matches. Not like seasons gone by. If this was 2-3 seasons ago, the nil-nil detector would be out of the British Museum. It'd be in here now. It'd be bleeping down. Nigel, this is a maximum bet. But this season's been different for some reason. The one thing I would say is a couple of things that this weekend is really, really important. One of them is obviously it's the week before the break. Now, obviously, a two-week break seems to have... Maybe teams might go at it a little bit this week, thinking we've got, it's a last chance 2 weeks ago. We might as well go at it. Week before the World Cup, last year, there were 30 goals across... They averaged 3 goals per game in the Premier League in that week before, and it was high goals. It was a match that was 4-3, a couple of high-scoring matches as well. So they may have a tendency to go all out. And obviously, it's the African Cup of Nations and the Asian Cup where a lot of players are out missing for that. So it might lead itself to goals. And then when you looked at the Burnley players and the players for Luton as well, I just thought to myself, I would go under, but there was a part of me that thought it could be 0-0, but on the flip side, it could be 4-4.
I'll be honest, I fancy Burnley to win this one. And I wanted all 3 picks this week because of the short fixture list to be plus money, hence why I've gone with that. But also, I actually had this down as an overs game myself. And as I say, Nigel had unders, so I kind of went with my backup plan. There was two or three options in this one. It's quite a lot of nice angles into it, I think, say. And corners, I think, expect double figures, and the fact that we can split it is the reason I went for that in the end, other than the fact that, say, Nigel went early with the unders and I fancied overs.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a bit of correlation in terms of over corners and over goals. I think it's a fair play. One thing I wouldn't do, I wouldn't back Burnley at minus. Would you back Burnley at minus money? I couldn't back Burnley at home. I mean, how many games have they lost at home?
They won one at home, lost 9 of 10, yeah, didn't they? I mean, so to be siding with a team in that kind of form.
Yeah.
But when you look at the sides they beat Sheffield United 5-0 at home. and they beat Luton away already.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
I think they just come up short when they're playing against seasoned Premier League teams. When they're against sides that are more championship oriented, like they dominated it last season, I think they can show themselves a bit better. But they make too many mistakes to get punished by the better teams and the better players. So, yeah, tough one. Minus money, yeah, probably one a swerve.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Burnley Luton is Friday night, UK, 2:45 Friday Eastern. Let's get to Chelsea against Fulham, which is Saturday morning Eastern, 7:30. You've got to get up early, US bettors, if you're getting involved in this one, or at least you're watching it. You can get your bets down the day before, of course. Chelsea here, Nigel, minus 165, Fulham plus 420, draw plus 335. This is an all West London affair. We talk about derby matches a lot on this show. They are local dust-ups. For me, and I'm a northerner, unlike you two, I look at this game and I think it's not that much of a derby. But I guess if you chat to a Fulham fan, it might be. I mean, just from a derby point of view, I mean, is it one that Chelsea fans brush off and but Fulham fans really take seriously? What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, Fulham fans definitely take it seriously. I mean, Chelsea, their big match, they like lay up there and one over on Tottenham, don't they? They like to beat the Tottenham side. And Fulham is like sort of a nice rival, isn't it? Not really they're like nice, friendly next
to like little brother almost, you know?
Nice, friendly. Yeah. You can knock on the door and get some coffee for them. If you knock on the door like to Millwall, they throw the coffee in your face. so like it's a different kind of derby there. But I mean, geographically, 1.7 miles separate these two sides.
So they're close.
When we talk about US bettors and they talk about derbies in state matches, you know, they're a long, long away mile. So this is at 1.7 miles. You can walk it in 30 minutes. You can walk down the King's Road, up down the Fulham Palace Road, and you're there. I've done that walk many occasions, I tell you. on the Google Maps, it takes 30 minutes. After 10 Stellas, it takes a lot longer. I can assure you that. The good thing about it, these two sides as well, is obviously that, you know, talk about rivalry. They could play in the Carabao Cup final, the League Cup final over here, and that will be a massive occasion for Fulham. Obviously, Fulham are trailing 2-1 against Liverpool, so they've got to win at Craven Cottage. And obviously, Chelsea are trailing 1-0 from at Middlesbrough. So they've got a bit of work to do, but there's a possibility this could be a Wembley final as well. I think the bet I like here is unders, and it's purely on the price. I think the price is too big. Plus 135 under 2.5 goals. I think that's a massive price. Consider it's a derby, considering it's an early kickoff. Early kickoff's notoriously quite low. It takes a bit of players a little bit of time to get used to the early kickoff. They ask any Premier League player, any ex-Premier League player, they don't like playing in them early kickoffs. The fact that both of these two sides have had to go and play in midweek as well. Fulham had to go up to Liverpool. Chelsea had to go to Middlesbrough, as I said, in the Cup. That is a big ask to then go and play again early on the Saturday morning. And also, we look at Chelsea in particular, the players they've got missing from the African Cup of Nations. Nicholas Jackson, I think he's their top goal scorer this season, but is that a positive or a negative in Bill Wade for over-under? You know, he's missed more chances than he's scored. Nkunku's got another injury. So that's two of their strikers out for this game. Fulham have got three players at the African Cup of Nations, including Iwobi. So they are big blows from an attacking point of view. And I think from the odds here, it's a derby. Players are missing. Both of them a little bit jaded after a big, big match. They've got some big, big games coming up. Both of them have got the Carabao Cup second legs in a couple of weeks' time. And then they go straight into some real tough FA Cup matches. Fulham host Newcastle and Chelsea have got Aston Villa. So real, real tough matches coming up for them. I think the timing of it, the way that it's been sat in the fixtures, it's a derby, players missing. I think under 2.5 goals at plus 155 is a stonking bet. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think at the price, plus 135, you know what you've got to do. You've got to pull the trigger, get on.
Yeah, lots of good narrative about that particular play, I think. I think that it's probably not cold in terms of US weather, but for us it's cold as well at the minute, and that could be another little factor.
Well, I've looked at the weather forecast because obviously I always check the weather forecast. You've only got to see me going off to
it's minus one, isn't it?
People are asking me weather predictions rather than bets nowadays. I'm not asking my son for the bets, they're asking me for the weather predictions. But the weather on Saturday goes up a little bit.
Oh, does it?
It's about 5 degrees, so it's not sub-zero. Right. So that won't help for the
scratch
under,
that.
But it will be cold. But knowing Fulham against Chelsea, I would make you a price. Outfield players, probably 11, 12 wearing gloves. Over 11 and a half, under 11 and a half gloves.
Wearing. I don't know. I think a lot of the players have jettisoned the gloves now because they realise they get a little bit of stick from it. If you go back 10, 15 years, like all the Chelsea boys had gloves on then, even John Terry.
They snooze, didn't they?
Snooze got banned.
Yeah, they'd be banned from this show after the one you had on. They're out. They're banned.
That
show never went up for a day, and I think it was trying to get everyone to think
that wasn't a
video nasty.
That was an oodie.
It was an absolute oodie. Never went up for a day. I thought they were trying to edit that outfit.
Listen, Nigel's got under 2.5 here at plus 135. Nigel has just rattled off a few of the players that Chelsea will be missing. And this is key because this is my favourite play of the week. There you go. I've jinxed it already. Jack's got it for us. Haven't got a regular starting striker. So who might score the goals? Jack, this is an interesting one. Go on.
It's going to be Cole Palmer, yeah. So I actually picked this one out prior to the game in midweek.
Shrewd.
Yeah, had an absolute shocker in midweek.
Did he, though? Did he have a shocker? He could have had a hat-trick.
He could have had a hat-trick. So this is my point.
Yeah, go on.
No, go on. Yeah, your glass half full, your glass half empty. You obviously are full, standard. And that you're...
I'm half empty.
Yeah. Yeah. And... He got in a position to score goals, didn't he? And he should have probably had a hat trick in the first half. I saw his XG was 1.25, and he missed a great chance early on. Then he put one over the bar from about 3 yards out, and then he was a bit too cautious with his third chance as well. But on target. But prior to that, he's been pretty clinical over the course of the season so far. He's scored 8 goals, which is Chelsea's top goal scorer. What I like about him is that he's been picked up from Manchester City. They spent £40 million on him, which was a lot, so like $54 million. And he's gone to Chelsea and gone, you know, I'm going to back that up. He's took the ball for penalties. He could have hidden away a little bit, but he's been on those and he's converted those. Fulham have conceded the most joint highest amount of penalties across the Premier League so far this season. So there's a good chance that he might well get one in this game as well. And as I say, with those absentees, he will be advanced probably as a false nine or as in a centre forward area, but he'll certainly be in the starting 11 in one of those front positions across, the front three or four that they'll play. Fulham conceded a lot of goals. Only the bottom three have conceded more goals than them across the season so far. And I do think Chelsea will get their chances. Chelsea have been like that over the course of the season. They created lots of chances, haven't been scoring them. But Cole Palmer's been that one guy that has been consistent throughout. In a season they've been consistently inconsistent, he's been the exception to that. And he's probably arguably been their best player of the season so far. So getting on board with him here at plus money to get on the score sheet at any point of time in the game, that's the play for me in this one.
Yeah, plus 180. It's a massive price. And you're right, he played as a false nine in midweek. I think Mauricio Pochettino likes him then. Yeah, and you could argue it didn't work because he didn't score. But as you mentioned, his XG was a significant number. Let's move on to Everton versus Aston Villa. This is 9 a.m. on the Sunday. Everton plus 180, Villa plus 148. Both teams are profitable in the over 2.5 goals market this season. Overs is minus 134, under is plus 108. You are sticking, Nigel, with a tried and tested here.
Yeah, I mean, my New Year's resolution, obviously, in my recent picks has been to bet a lot more overs than unders. And I think I've got 100% record on the overs on this show, which is sort
of... Who knew? You're starting to win money. It's incredible, isn't it?
Unbelievable. If I'd known that 20 years ago, I wouldn't be living in this house. I'd be living in a mansion. I'd be living next door to you, Mr. Robert. This is an over 2.5 for me. The price is minus 134, which is a little bit lower than I would usually like to bet, but minus 134. And I think the stats and the evidence that suggest this is going to be overs. I mean, both of these sides score goals. Twice this season they've met already. One in the Cup, one in the League. Both of them cashed overs. 4-0 for Villa in the League and 2-1 in the League Cup for Everton. Last four road matches for Aston Villa, last four have all gone over 2.5. Five of their last six road matches over 2.5. Villa have the second worst defence in the top half of the table in road matches. Only Newcastle have a worse record than that. Villa have scored in their last 10 road matches. Villa have scored in every single one. So you would expect them to get a goal. Neither of these sides have really been affected badly by the players going to the African Cup of Nations compared to other teams in and around them. It's a huge match for Aston Villa at the top of the table. If they need to win this to have any chance of really putting the pressure on, they want to go out on this break with a win, then, you know, in a lofty position. Could go top of the table. Villa, like I said, last 10 road matches scored. Everton have scored in their 8 of their last 9 home matches as well. And they scored 3 against Newcastle, 2 against Chelsea, 1 against Manchester City. So if they can score six goals against our opposition, you would expect them to score against a very leaky Aston Villa defence on the road. That is the part that Emery has to shore up, that leaky defence on the road. At home, we know they're great. On the road, they're a little bit inconsistent and they concede far too many goals. That's what he's got to shore up. But he might have to do that after the break. I'm going to go over 2.5 goals here. The matchup looks good. Everton played a part in a dire 0-0 against Crystal Palace that I went to, but that was all to do with the weather, all to do with the conditions. They were helped by Calvert-Lewin, obviously rescinded his red card to be available for this match. Ollie Watkins will be available for this match. None of the teams massively affected by the African Cup of Nations, both at full strength, over 2.5 goals. Maybe not a price that many people might want to take at -134 in singles. And I'm not, you know, if you're a recreational bettor of $10, $15, something like that, it's not going to get your juices flowing. But I think for the parlay, it's banker material. Over 2.5 goals, Everton Villa, get on.
Only three teams have made a level stakes profit in the EPL if you've backed unders this season. This is quiz time, Nigel. You've been waiting for this.
Here we go.
Which three teams have made betters a profit, level stakes for unders so far this season? Only three teams in the Premier League.
Which three teams? I'm trying
Arsenal.
To think. You said three Arsenal teams three times. No. Trying to give me two. Crystal Palace.
That's because this goes out as a podcast as well, so we have to keep talking. Crystal Palace. No.
That's wrong. No.
Man United is one.
Yes. You'll go.
Every single Premier League game this season, three Newcastle. Teams. If you backed on this.
Newcastle.
No.
Oh, go on. Just put us out of the misery. Brentford.
No. Who's top of the table?
Liverpool.
Who's bottom of the table?
Sheffield United.
There you go. There's the three. So Sheffield United, Liverpool.
Well, I must admit,
Man
your
United.
Quiz questions are getting better from last year.
Tell you what, I'm flying. Don't worry. Bamba Gascoigne, Google it, American fans. I bet he's absolutely crappy. He's
similar kind of
pants.
Haircut for you, Bamba Gascoigne. Very similar. You'll see the similarities between Dan and Bamba Gascoigne.
Bamba Gascoigne, US viewers, listeners, was a quiz show host in the 70s and 80s in the UK. Anyway, let's move on to Man United Spurs, 11:30 Sunday. United +118, Spurs +205, draw +295 here. United have won one of their last five in the Premier League. Beat Wigan, of course, in the FA Cup, Nigel, last time out. They are favourites here again. And they've been back. They were +125 when they did the running order last night. They're +118 now. I mean, I can't believe they are borderline even money. You tell me why.
Well, I think I have a small lean towards Man United here. I wouldn't bet them at even money.
You bet them at that price. I can always see them winning games, but you can't bet them at +118.
Yeah, but Tottenham are without Son. They're without Bissouma as well. Obviously, we know that you know this season have been about Harry Kane. Hasn't really suffered them because Son has done it. They're out Madison. I mean, the players that Tottenham are missing here is a big, big ask to go to Old Trafford. I know they're inconsistent. I know Old Trafford hasn't, you know, Bournemouth went there and won 3-0. But the turnaround against Aston Villa may have galvanised their season. They played pretty well.
They lost to the game after that, didn't they? They got hammered, didn't they? The game after, I can't remember who it was, but they got beat.
Forest.
Yeah, but
at home, I think that's good. Obviously, the Cup as well. They had a good win in the Cup as well. They've got a good chance in the Cup. They've been a great draw. So there may be some new owners have come in. Ratcliffe's taken 25% of the club as well. So there is signs that things may be turning around, but they are so inconsistent. And no, I couldn't bet them at even money, but I can see why they're being bet because people look at data, people look at analysis, people look at team news. Team news is more important than anything else. And the Tottenham team has been decimated by people away on international duty. You know, if you take Son, Madison and Kane out of that team, that's very, very difficult to really see where the goals are going to come from. But saying that, I'm going for over three goals at -132. And the reason I'm saying that is because seven of the last 10 home matches from Man United, at least three goals have been scored. So you would have only lost on this match in three matches in the Premier League this season. For Tottenham, they've won five of their last six matches. They're in great form. 10 of the last 11 EPL matches in Tottenham matches have produced at least three goals. Over 10 years, the average goals in this game is 3.3 goals per game. That's over 10 seasons. Tottenham are getting good form. I think the way that Manchester United play, they're at a sort of stage where now it's like, we might as well swing a bat. We might as well go for it. They go off the front foot. They leave themselves open at the back. Tottenham, despite those players, still have goals in them. Richarlison is there. We're leading the line. I think that he'll get goals when he gets opportunities. Tottenham have got a little bit of swagger about him. Postecoglou won't care if they go 1-0, 2-0 down. He'll just go 3 up front, 4 up front, and just try to just, if we concede 2, we don't care. We're going to score 2. But I think over 3 goals here with a push on the Asian line with Bet Rivers is the bet. It's -132. Again, a little bit of a short price. It would be my least confident pick out of all of them. But if you love your statistics, you love your recent trends, and you love everything that produces goals, and Manchester United and Tottenham are way, way, way at the top of that list. And I think Man United Tottenham will be a bit of a classic at 4:30 p.m. And straight after that, between that and the Everton game, we'll have the reaction show, and we'll be talking about a very entertaining match. Man United against Tottenham, yeah. Over 3 goals, -132. Asian line with a push.
Historically, there's always a lot of goals in this. I mean, Jack, I know you've got a prop bet for us here to just go alongside Nigel's play, but in terms of money line or over and under, did you have any sort of opinion on this one, Jack?
Can't be back at Man United pretty much at any price, to be fair, at the moment, because they are so inconsistent. And every time I've seen them play, they've just not impressed me. Even like Wigan during the week, I just looked at them and I thought, you know, who's scoring goals for them? McTominay's their top goal scorer in the league this season with 5 goals. And he scored those across 3 games, 2 games in October and 1 game in December. So it's not working out for Hoyland at the moment. You look at Rashford and it sort of looks disinterested and fancy flicks and tricks more than anything else rather than any end products. So, yeah, Nigel's right. The concern, if you're back in money line, is Spurs players that are missing. Son's obviously been vital for them. But Richarlison has come to form at the right time with his goals. I think he scored 6 goals, 5 in his last 6 games. So, yeah, perhaps he's going to be the match winner for here. But if I had to have a bet, with your money, I'd go with Tottenham because I think there's a bit more value in it at the price.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I certainly won't bet. I'd want to be against United at the prices. We have got a prop bet in this one. And this might be the biggest price play we've had on the show. What are we? Week 20. I think this is the biggest price play we've had.
Plus Nigel, is it? I think so. Was it, I don't know what it is. I can't remember. Is it plus 140?
Plus 375. I don't even think we've had a pick of 2 or 1, let alone near 4 or 1.
We wouldn't have anything.
We haven't. We've not had anything plus over 2 or 1, I don't think. Come on. Jack, come on. Explain the prop here for the Manchester United Spurs game.
Yeah, we're going bold in this week. I fancy going bold, as I said. We've got...
You're all right. It's me and Nigel that have gone... Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I had a haircut this week just to try and fit in a little bit, but not quite enough off.
Come on, what's the play?
Nigel mentioned the live reaction show this weekend. Well, last time I was on it, I actually tipped this in that show. It was Pedro Porro, Tottenham's right back, to provide an assist. So he basically needs to provide the pass that leads to a goal. And he has done that 6 times so far this season. And when you consider across the whole division, only Mo Salah's leading the way and Ollie Watkins with 8 assists across the campaign. That shows you how well he is doing. He fits Ange Postecoglou's side perfectly. I've loved watching him this season. He was a bit of anonymous when he joined the club, but he seems to have absolutely thrived under Postecoglou. He celebrates tackles, and I love that when you see a defender crunch someone and stick him into the stands and he's there giving it the fist pump. Love to see that, but he's great going forward, and I think he's going to have a lot of joy against this United side who are playing Dalot on their left, and he's advanced and inverted as well. So he's playing inside, which Wigan, their out ball during the week, and bearing in mind people in America going, what is a Wigan? Wigan are in the third tier of English football, and they caused United a few problems in midweek, and they played it out to their right, a pacey winger who advanced up the pitch and caused problems. And that will be Pedro Porro in this instance for Spurs, who plays very, very advanced under Postecoglou. Now, I said he's had 6 assists so far this season. Well, the main reason is 5 of those have come since November the 11th. And that's a key date because that's the first game that James Maddison was missing. So he's now on their free kicks and on their corners. And United are a little bit susceptible to those balls into the box as well from set pieces. So he's on those, which definitely helps. And he's advanced to get those crosses into the box as well. And he's had 5 assists in those 9 games since Maddison's been out, so since November. And they've all been single assists as well. So in 5 of those 9 games, he's provided at least 1 assist. So a real good return on that to get plus 375 in a game which, as Nigel said, and I agree with him, screams goals. he has a very good chance, in my opinion, of providing an assist for one of those goals at a very juicy price indeed.
Yeah, top info. Brilliant analysis. +375, the assist market for the Man United Spurs game.
I've never bet on an assist market in my life, right? Never, ever. But what happens if he passes the ball to one of their players? Does that count as an assist?
No.
Doesn't it? No. Why not? Why not?
Because it's got to be the team that he plays for that scores, not the opposition.
Unfortunately, in the dream team stuff, if you get fouled for a penalty and they scored a penalty, that's an assist, but not here, unfortunately. It has to be a pass to one of their players. So many markets for Bet Rivers. We need to involve a few others every now and again. Bread and butter, money line, and Asians and goal lines. But every now and again, we'll throw in a curveball. And like I said, it's cash. Last time I was on that live reaction show with Steve at the weekend. So let's do it again.
Who's on the reaction show, Nigel, Sunday?
Simon Holden.
Is he really? Holden. Well, I tell you Holden. What, the good Lord, if he can come up with an assist.
It was supposed to be me, but I'm at a family party, so I couldn't do it. So Simon Holden is on there, and he's an Everton fan, isn't he? So it's immediately after the Everton-Aston Villa game, so it should be quite interesting.
I thought we were going to get the best tipster in the Sealy household on.
What, sorry?
I thought we were going to get the best tipster in the Sealy household on.
He's far too expensive. You met my son on Saturday, didn't you, Dan?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, good lad. It was good fun after the QPR game.
He's changed now. In a week, he's changed. He's walking around with a bit of swagger.
Listen, when you're knocking out the correct score picks, good on him.
Yeah.
One last thing, down a peg or two, that boy. Ten Hag. Quickly, Ten Hag +170. I didn't realise he was favourite to the next manager to go. I mean, Jim Ratcliffe's come in. There doesn't seem to be the threat on his job. Has the market got that wrong? Just quickly, Nigel, Jack.
I don't think he's going to go. I think he could win the FA. I get a good run in the FA Cup. I think he could do it. What price is no manager to go now?
I don't know.
I always like betting no manager to go at some stage of the season. And like, there's always one like the week before the final season goes. But I think if you look at all of them have sort of ridden the waves. I mean, if Burnley haven't made a move for a company, now he's staying. The Luton manager is going nowhere. Pochettino, that they're in two cup competitions. Eddie Howe, I think that an FA Cup again is huge for him.
Yeah.
I think no manager. Roy is the only one. Roy Hodgson and
Roy could go, couldn't he?
Steve Cooper. But other than that, I think there's going to be very limited moves.
Jack, anything in it? Do you think he's a false price? I think he's going to stay.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think if they were going to pull the trigger, probably would have done it by now. And so I think they've been bad enough over the last year that they probably would have say got rid of him before now. So no, I think there's others or no one.
No manager to leave. This is a very serious point here. Right?
Go on.
Here you go, right? No manager to leave the job now to the end of the season. Now we're halfway through the season. What price would you be? Now, the bet is Roy Hodgson, Ten Hag, Eddie Howe.
Ten to one.
What have you been, Jack?
+1,000.
+800.
8 to 1, 10 to 1. 80 to 1.
What?
80 to 1. No more managers to lose their job. The betting is Roy Hodgson, Ten Hag, Howe, Vincent Kompany, Pochettino. So
we're a third away through January. When the transfers start to happen, I can't imagine there's going to be much. Who's going to go?
Normally, you look at the bottom.
Wilder's going to stay. Kompany's probably going to stay. And as you say, Luton guy, Rob Edwards is going to stay.
And there's not really many other people in risk of relegation, is there? Like Everton will probably get their points back and be good enough to get out of it. Roy will probably just take it
to the end of the year. Then they'll swap in the summer, won't they? Probably
80 to 1.
Palace gone up for sale. They're talking about selling Palace. So that obviously, if that's on the horizon, then they aren't going to do anything until that happens.
Now, you thought the +350 was the biggest price ever. And now we've got one. Nick,
what have we got?
What's that
in American money? +8,000.
Yeah.
That is a big price, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get involved with that. We've looked at four of the five games, so it would be remiss of us not to at least have a very quick chat on the Newcastle Man City game. Newcastle +450, Man City -177, the draw +350, over and under here. Over -162, under +128. Would you have a lean, boys, in this one quickly, Nigel?
My lean would be over goals again. I mean, De Bruyne coming back, Haaland possibly could start again. He'd be fresh. They may rest him, even if they do. Alvarez is in sensational form. Newcastle conceding goals. Newcastle sort of playing out, giving it all they can in the league, but really their main objective now is to win the FA Cup. I would go for three goals and push with three goals, over three goals.
Have a look at that. Jack, what do you think? Anything?
I'd go unders if I had to in that one. It seems like an overs game, but Eddie Howe tends to set up quite tight and cagey against the better sides. And I think with the injuries and so on that they've got, then I think they look to try and restrict City. And I think City will grind them down. And my gut instinct on that is something like a 2-0 win for City.
Yeah, I liked unders not so long ago because he was sort of channeling his sort of inner Diego Simeone, but I don't think he's got the players for it at the minute. But it'd be an interesting one. Be a decent game. I mean, if City drop points there, then it opens up the title race again. Nigel and Jack, you've both mentioned sort of players away from AFCON. Which teams are you just a bit wary of because of the players that have gone? I mean, it took me about 8 hours to type out all of the players here, so I'm going to keep it in the running order. Liverpool losing Salah, West Ham losing Aguard and Kudos. Jack, who do you think will be the team that you just steer clear of or back against or, you know, watching brief? What do you think?
Watching brief, I'd say, but we mentioned him already. Nigel's mentioned him. I think the biggest loss is probably Son for Spurs. Will Richarlison step up? We hope so, obviously, this weekend for both of our sakes, really, on the bets that we've got. But he's a big miss. And Bissouma as well in there, given they've got injuries in those areas. So I'd say, off the top of my head, that would be the one that sticks in my mind.
Nigel, which teams would you want to avoid?
You know, I'm heavily on Liverpool. I'm lucky. Salah, I mean, this break's coming. Salah is obviously good, but Salah and obviously Trent out as well is a big blow for Liverpool. But their fixtures, they've got Crystal Palace at home, I think, next week, so they should be able to be there. The team that I would really be worried about, and they're the team that lost most of the players to the AFCON, is Nottingham Forest. They've lost six players.
Yeah.
So I'd be worried about Nottingham Forest, especially them at the bottom. So they would be the side, and they've got a big squad, Nottingham Forest, but they haven't got really much quality in that squad. So I think Nottingham Forest would be the team that I'd be worried about if I was looking at betting anybody.
Yeah, do you want another quiz? Which are the three teams that haven't got lost any players? I'll put it in the running order. Does anyone read these running orders?
No, yeah, I told you I don't. I like to be surprised.
Burnley is one.
Burnley's one.
Manchester United?
No.
Let me try and think who else.
They got Onana and Amrabat back.
Newcastle.
Newcastle, Jack has read it.
Man City.
Right. City, typical, isn't it? AFCON final is the 11th of February. Asian Cup final the day before on the 10th. So potentially if an Egypt gets through to the final, then you're losing Salah right and through and sort of almost mid-February. Certainly worth bearing in mind. Check out the team news. Hopefully you'll know which players are playing and are missing when you're tackling the Premier League card, not just this week, but for the next 4 weeks. Best, before we wrap up, Nigel, what's your best play over this week?
Oh, it's got to be at the price. Plus 135, Chelsea, Fulham, under 2.5 goals. Jackson, Kuunku, and Nkunku. What's his name?
Yeah, he's injured.
Both out. And obviously Fulham, three players gone. Local derby, under 2.5 goals, plus 135.
Jack, what's your best bet this weekend?
Mate, you said you loved it. So if that's good enough for me, going Cole Palmer to score at any time in a 1-0 win for Chelsea.
Well, I love that. I think Cole Palmer play through the centre and he'll score. And as you say, he's on penalties as well. He's not missed one for Chelsea this season. It's a really good play. Nigel, Jack, thanks for your company. Good luck with your picks. That's a wrap for week 21. It's part one, of course, of week 21, because as we've explained, we've got five more games next weekend for the Premier League show. It takes a little bit of a mini break, so to speak. You can hit us up on YouTube and on Twitter. Of course, get your comments in. We'll do our best to answer them over the course of the weekend. If you've got any queries about any of the fixtures, any of the plays that we have put up. For now, though, from all of us, it is goodbye.